Close your eyes, and you will find yourself.
When I was a boy, my mother used to tell me a story of a demon king and his army. They brought fire and terror to the land. Until they faced the protector of the people, the white monkey.
There you are. You are a beast.
In this city, the rich don't see us as people.
Give me the job no one wants to do. I'll do it.
Anyone who forgets their place doesn't turn out well for them.
This is not the place to work if you can't handle that sort of stuff.
Every day, I've prayed for a way to protect the weak.
I've got an answer to every prayer.
I call her Nikki.
Minaj.
Big bumper.
Nice headlights.
Let's boogie.
To fight for your mother, for all of us.
Anger will not quiet your soul, my son.
Don't call me son.
It's time to remember who you are. But only love kills more when will they learn.
Just one small ember can burn down everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for a fight?
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to the Strange Harbors podcast, a weekly discussion of film, television, and pop culture. My name is Jeff Zhang, and tonight I'm joined by
Amir Touré
and Derek Wong.
So this week we are talking about Dev Patel's debut as both director and action star, Monkey Man, a revenge actioner starring Patel himself, Makaran Deshpande, Sikandar Kher, Vipin Sharma, and Charlton Copley. This is one of this year's first big action movies, and apparently it had a very troubled production. Did you guys know anything about this?
Not specifically. I just heard it got saved by Jordan Peele.
Yeah, so apparently it was going to be a Netflix release, and then it got rescued by, like you said, Jordan Peele. It was sold to Universal. Netflix got cold feet because of the Indian politics of it all, so they shopped it around. And Universal picked it up through Jordan Peele's Monkey Paw Productions. And then it had a really rough actual production, too, where COVID delays and budget issues made the production extra long and really torturous for Dev Patel. And it's kind of a minor miracle this thing got made at all. And, you know, I was at the South by Southwest premiere for this, and he got really emotional talking about this movie, introducing it. Because it was like his baby and he put so much effort into it and he wasn't even sure if it was going to see the light of day. And, you know, Jordan Peele was on stage and he got to thank Jordan Peele. It was a very sweet moment. Interesting to see that journey from its early stages to finally getting a release and a proper premiere in Austin. Packed house. It was a pretty rowdy crowd. When did you guys see this?
I literally just saw it today. What about you, Derek?
I saw it over the weekend, so I saw it opening weekend.
What was the crowd like?
Pretty small. It wasn't too many people in the theater with me.
Okay. I mean, I went on a Wednesday afternoon at like 4 o'clock, so keeping that in mind, but it was empty. It was literally just me. I don't have a good gauge for how well this is doing.
Yeah, I think it's underperforming a bit, and I think the reaction's kind of muted too, because I wrote my review and like all the comments were like, this movie sucked. It was just John Wick. A lot of hate comments, actually. I don't know what's going on.
That's quite surprising.
There. Yeah.
The Rotten Tomatoes are okay. 88 critics, 83 public.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
I feel like if you just see that trailer, you're just hyped and ready to see this, right?
Yeah, it had a great trailer.
I saw the trailer. I was like, holy shit, I'm seeing this movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't it one of your nominations for most anticipated this year?
I mean, absolutely. Yeah, man. I was psyched about this.
Yeah. And I think we had some overlap. I was pretty excited for it, too. I don't know if it was actually on my list or it was one of the honorable mentions, but I was really hyped for this too. And I don't know, what did you guys think?
I thought this was good. I liked it. I didn't love it. There were some things I thought that were a little awkward, but I think overall it was a really, really good, confident directorial debut for Dev Patel. It's a fun movie to watch visually. It's not boring at all. And I think he nails the action parts. I don't know. I was pretty happy with this. This was pretty good. Weird little movie. I quite liked it. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think I'm on the same boat as you, Amir. I think that action-wise, it's pretty fun. And when I say action, I'm talking mostly about the hand-to-hand combat. I think the fight scenes get better and better as the movie goes on. The way it's framed, the character himself becomes more confident in his abilities, gets portrayed in the actual fight scenes, which I quite liked. I will say that I wasn't a big fan. There's like a major car chase scene in this movie. I thought that was really rough.
Oh.
On a script level, I think there's a lot of issues with this movie. To be completely honest, I don't know much about Indian politics or the dynamics of gender in India, but I feel like he was definitely trying to cram in a lot with this script. As a director, I think he put it in a good way. I think he has some flourishes that were unique, that were really fun, that I really enjoyed. And I would definitely be down to see more Dev Patel, one, as an action hero, and then two, as a director.
I agree with both of you guys. I think this is a very confident, if a little over-exuberant, debut for Dev Patel as a action movie director. I think he bites off a little more than he can chew, like you said, Derek. I also don't know that much about Indian politics, but there's a couple pieces flying around saying it's a little muddled. Sitan Adlaka wrote a good piece on the politics of this movie and how jumbled it is, you know, using imagery of Hindu nationalism to combat Hindu nationalism, which is very paradoxical and confusing. So I don't know that much about it, but we'll link it in the description for the episode so you guys can read it. It's very insightful. He's obviously a little more down on this movie than I am and we are, but yeah, I think the action is definitely better than the actual story. Like you said, Derek, I think it's a little overstuffed. I will say that he definitely seems very passionate about the things that he wants to talk about in this movie, but it's all a little undercooked. It's all a little thin. I think he's kind of cooking with gas with the action stuff, and that's what I came here for, right? So I was not disappointed by any of the action. To see what he went through in the production and all the problems that he had, all the delays and the budget issues. I was talking to Derek about this offline, where they even had trouble with the prop breakaway tables and chairs and stuff. Like, they couldn't afford more than one set. So after they destroyed the tables, they had to glue them back together with all the splinters and shit to do more takes. It's wild. He was really going through it, the production of this movie. So, and for it to come out like this, I thought the action was great. There's a lot of little flourishes, like you said, Derek, where he's kind of going ham with the camera movements, and it's very legible. I never thought it was confusing at any time. I definitely agree. I think it gets more confident as the movie goes, and I think the final action set piece, that final stretch, that final half hour is really, really fucking good.
I agree. And I guess maybe it's like part of the meta narrative, like the fighting gets better as he has literally gotten better at fighting, like within the story, right? Like,
yeah,
it makes sense. But I do wish he had that confidence from the beginning, because that second big action set piece is just so fucking good.
Yeah.
I wish we'd gotten some of that earlier.
I do think it's too long. This could have been like a tight 90, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. I think so too. Yeah. It could be a little shorter and it hit harder. It did feel like there was somehow some flab for what's supposed to be like a lean, mean action movie.
Yeah. As a lean, mean action movie, there is a point in the story where it kind of comes to a halt, right? Like it really stops to like address issues of gender. And not to say that that stuff isn't important to talk about, but it does for the momentum of this movie. I definitely felt that, right? Not to say that I wish that stuff would be excised from this movie, but maybe there was a different way that it wouldn't have just killed the momentum, I think, of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the interstitial stuff could have moved a little bit faster. I mean, like, it's classic, like, hero's journey stuff. Like, it's very classic stuff he's doing. He's not reinventing the wheel or anything, but it just moves a touch too slow. And I think if you sped everything up, you could cut a little bit out. Do you want to do a little synopsis? Just so that we can get everyone on the same page?
The movie's really straightforward, and I think that's why I think it would benefit from a tight, I don't know, 100 or 90 minute long movie where, you know, it's just a little too long and a little luxuriously paced that interferes with the momentum, like you guys said. So it's just basically Deb Patel playing this character named Kid or the Kid, and he is getting revenge on a corrupt cop and this religious figure who's weaponizing faith for his own gain, and they burned down his village when he was a child and killed his mother. So he's basically worming his way through all these little milieus in India to get his revenge and position himself to take his revenge. And it's all these little action set pieces and stuff. So it's really, really straightforward.
To go with your like movie length thing, hate to do it to him, but let's compare it to John Wick. That first John Wick, 101 minutes.
Yeah,
that's like right where you want to be, right?
Yeah.
And this was close to 2 hours. This was
121 minutes.
100, yeah.
So exactly. A minute over 2 hours, yeah.
So yeah, the movie's maybe 20 minutes too long.
I'm not going to lie, I felt it, right?
I did feel it a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't cooking with gas the entire way. The first thing that kind of surprised me about this thing is when it starts out, he's a little more Hamlet than John Wick, even though he's been planning this revenge his entire life. He's sort of struggling to do it. He's got to go into the bathroom and like gas himself up and stuff like that. I thought it was cool, but unexpected that he didn't just start out as this super high level killer. And then the movie kind of plays with that, right? Like, cause he does fail that initial hit and he's got to go and train and contemplate and refocus before he gets all his like upgrades for round two. So that did surprise me. And I kind of like the choice, but it also does have its ramifications on the quality of the fight scenes. The first set of fights are good too, but the second is so much better.
Yeah.
You're like, man, I wish we'd gotten two of this kind of sequence.
Yeah.
Right? But it's certainly intentional. You don't want to hate on it. It's a choice. It's just, man, I wish we got more of the dessert. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I mean, he starts off the movie in the Monkey Man persona, but he uses it to like throw fights in the underground fighting ring. So it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's
a cool little touch. Cool. And I don't know that much about the wrestling terminology, but he's like the hated loser. Everyone hates Monkey Man or whatever, right? It's cool when later on he comes back and he just one hit KOs the guy he's been jobbing to the whole time and beats up that big guy. And everyone's like, yeah, Monkey Man. Like he wins the crowd over. It's cool. It fucking works.
The word you're looking for is heel.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. I liked the little, as dumb as it is to be fucking John Protagonist or whatever. I like that he usual suspects his name. He sees that little bleach thing with Bobby's bleach or whatever. And he's like, oh, yeah, my name is Bobby. I like that little touch. He's doing a ton of these little shout outs to a bunch of movies. And I do like what he's doing here. The befriending the dog part of his plan was sick.
Yeah.
How cool was that? I didn't see that coming as a part of his plan. Maybe it wasn't and he just incorporated it, but I thought it was so cool. So he's trying to infiltrate a high-end brothel so he can eventually get close to his target, the police chief, and blow his brains out. But there's a metal detector and they get scanned when they go in, so they can't bring a gun. So he makes friends with like a stray dog outside the kitchens. He works in the kitchen and he makes friends with the stray dog and eventually trains it to bring him the fucking
around the
gun.
Detector. Yeah, it was really cool.
Which is awesome. It was such a cool little touch because you see him just making friends with the dog. You're like, oh, he's just a nice guy. And then it brings him the gun. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, very fucking cool. Like, man, he's not afraid to use a lot of color.
Yeah, it's very colorful.
And a lot of neon. It's very like Refn or Michael Mann or like there's so much color in this movie. And I just really appreciate that. Shout out to him for making something interesting to look at. It's not just this gray slop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's really not afraid to be bold with the colors and stuff. And I liked some of that, even with the chase scene that you didn't like, Derek. I liked that. I liked all the color and the freneticness. And I don't know, that kind of worked for me. I thought just generally it's a pretty visually interesting movie to look at. He's doing a lot of stuff with, you know, shots through mirrors. I think it just looks good,
man. I mean, I think for me, like, the chase scene was the one thing I didn't quite like, just because it was just, for me, it was very hard to kind of track what was going on. The one thing he does a lot in this movie is he does a lot of close-ups, right? Especially in the chase, he doesn't give time to pull away, to give us context of where he's going or what's happening. And even in the chase scenes, it's a lot of close-up and quick edits, quick cuts. So that was just, for me, like, I think as a director, there's some improvement there, right? That could be had to make that just a little bit more legible in my mind.
Mm.
So I agree. I think the cutting is a little too frenetic, especially at the beginning. But he definitely figures it out by the end. And that second big action set piece, there's a lot of nice
long
mid shots. The action is completely crystal fucking clear. And there's no, like, camera trickery at all. And you can see that they're really doing everything. And I think he nails that bit. But I agree. At the beginning, it's a little bit rapid, cutty, fucking Bourne ultimatum.
A little choppy, yeah.
A little choppy. One thing that kind of didn't work for me, I wasn't sure if it worked, because a lot of the first setup phase happens in this brothel. There's a lot of association of, like, the villains with drugs and sex, right? Like, everyone's taking a whole bunch of drugs in the brothel and having sex with the prostitutes, right? And it's, like, a shorthand for the villains being evil, but because you haven't yet seen them do the evil stuff, right? Like, the flashbacks of his burned down village and the mom are doled out over the course of the movie, right? So you haven't seen that yet. And you do know it happened, right? Like, it's very clear from the very first time they even tease that out. Oh, okay, yeah. Fucked up event in his childhood, getting revenge for it, got it. But because you haven't seen it yet, but you don't have it from the beginning, it just feels a little bit like the sex and the drugs are a shorthand for evil people, which doesn't really work for me. Right? Do you see the police chief be a little bit abusive to one of the prostitutes, which you're like, okay, he's an asshole. But it feels a little bit like a Batman setup where he's, you know, has to overthrow the corrupted rich of Gotham or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, you want to see them do some evil shit first, not just fuck prostitutes and take drugs, which is awesome. Like, that's not evil. They're just having fun.
Especially later on when Defatel, it is obvious that he's sex worker positive, right? To make that kind of misstep is a little weird. I agree.
I was like, what is this film's stance on sexuality? It was a little odd early on. I don't know. I think they ironed it out over the course of the movie, but at first you're just a little like, this is like a weird shorthand for evil people. I mean, I guess you also do get the very clear wealth politics of this, right? Like, there's so much of India that is super duper poor, and then the super rich don't care about anybody and abuse them and stuff. That comes through pretty clearly. But it was a little weird at first. I don't know if you guys felt that same way.
I think it's a criminology problem more than a story problem. I think it's just first-time director, first-time writer issues where he put some things in the wrong order, right? And it had unintentional effects on how you view things, right? I'm willing to forgive that. I noticed it too. Yeah.
Very slight wrinkle. Weird associations.
To piggyback off this a little, I mean, I think what doesn't really work for me, it turns from like a traditional revenge story, and I'm going to do this too. John Wick, you know, John Wick 1 is about him getting revenge because someone killed his dog, right? And there's a lot of layers to that, right? You know, it's the dog that his wife gave him, it's symbolic of something, and it stays true to that pretty much throughout at least that whole first movie. But this movie then wants to extend beyond this is just a revenge tale, but then he becomes this hero of the people. He's trying to fight for the sex workers and the transgender community, and he's fighting for them. I think it becomes very muddled because that last scene or the last 30 minutes, that last fight, he gets his revenge. The movie doesn't end there, right? It becomes then he has to take down the Baba Shakti character too. As a character, he doesn't know that the Baba Shakti character also had a hand in his village's massacre.
I think he did. I think he did.
I don't know if he does figure that out, does he?
I thought he knew that because, like, they showed the ring on his finger a couple times. I thought he knew that. Maybe I'm wrong.
I got the feeling that he knew that too.
I don't know. For me, it wasn't a strong connection. I thought they were trying to lay on very thick this idea that he thinks it's the best thing for everyone to also kill this guy.
Oh, no. I don't think it was like an extra add-on kill. I think that guy was clearly part of the revenge. I'm pretty sure he clearly knew. Because even in the fight scene, the guy says something about his mother, right? Like, Baba Shakti says something back to him about his mother. So, like, there's a clear understanding there that this is an intentional, like, you are part of my revenge.
This is some of that script level things I was talking about. Like, I think it is trying a little bit too much. It might have succeeded a little bit better for me if it was just a pure revenge story.
I guess maybe I liked the political angle a little bit better than you guys did. I thought it was a very clear allusion to current right-wing / fascist nationalist Indian politics without getting too much into the details. Like, it's pretty clear that this is a fucked up political party that, like, oppresses minorities and they're doing a lot of fucked up shit. And that these are, like, not good guys. Like, I thought that through line was all pretty – it worked for me.
I like the message that, you know, sometimes you have to meet these people with violence, right? I think that's one of the messages of the movie. But where some of the more astute Indian critics have pointed out, the parallel is, like, for a movie in America to take down, like, a right-wing baddie, right? And then at the end, you're like, oh, make America great again, you know, that, like, you use that slogan or something, which I think is kind of funny. I think it's more about the religious imagery that it uses. And
got it. I think I need to look more into that. And I'll read that article and see what the contradictions
were. I didn't catch it the first time around either. Like, I don't know anything about Indian politics. Like, I was with you, man. I was like, oh, okay. Clearly, these nationalist authoritarian guys are bad and he's going after them. What's the big deal? And then, you know, other people have pointed out contradictions.
I guess you could also see it being awkward from a story perspective, right? Where, like, it's as if, I don't know, again, the internal comparison to John Wick. If there was, like, a part where John Wick is like, and the Republicans are evil or whatever. You're like, wait, what? I thought this was a movie about revenge. Why are we doing this? Like, yeah. So I get that part, too. It ties a little bit into what Derek is saying. So I guess the part we didn't truly connect is that his first attempted hit in the brothel fails, and he's running from the cops, and he gets shot and falls into the water, and he's resuscitated by some of the Indian transgender queer community, the Hijra, I guess is what they're called. And so the priest there, Alpha, kind of helps him recover and also takes him on a little psychedelic drug trip to confront his trauma. And then, you know, he comes out stronger and geared up for round two.
Right? Yeah.
And these are some of the people who are being oppressed by the fascist political party that is also being run by the cop and the religious figure who are his main revenge target. So it all dovetails together.
And I think the training montage is pretty great. And I think it hides just how thin the stuff with the trans community is, you know? And all the stuff, like, with the trans women, the sex workers, it's all a little thin. And, you know, it's obvious that he's passionate about these issues, but I don't think he has the bandwidth to tackle all these things, even at like 120 minutes, right?
I'm going to push back a little bit. I think thin's okay, and I think thinner even would have been better. For example, like, the supporting cast is super duper thin here too, right? And I kind of liked that. It is about a revenge flick. It's not about making buddies. There's the friendly prostitute he kind of exchanges a little bit of a flirtation with, who steps up and kills her madam. And then there's his buddy who he uses for the getaway vehicle. And they're not awkwardly, like, shoehorned in at the end or something like that. It's like, no, like, I met you in passing. We had this interaction and, like, that's it. This is about me putting bodies in the ground. Like, I liked that. I kind of liked how thin they were. And I think if they went a little thinner, they could have shaved some of the fat off this movie. It would have been a tight 90. You still could have had the political illusions. And I think it's still
okay. That's what I'm saying, though, right? I think he's on a shaky middle ground where he can't commit to, like, really exploring these ideas or just making them thin and trim the fat, right? And I think he should have leaned into trimming the fat.
Yeah. Okay, I gotcha. Yes. I agree completely.
I think that's where the movie is the strongest, is the action and, you know, the revenge portion. And
absolutely.
To just cut some of the fat. I don't think people would be mad about that, you know?
I think for me, the fat is probably the revenge flashback stuff just doesn't work as well as it should. Yeah, it kind of
slackens the pace.
That really is where the movie kind of hits a roadblock. And I think that's the stuff that you could have kept it to as sketchy as it was in the very beginning. Just a couple flickering shots of his little PTSD madness of reliving, you know, the burning of the house and the killing and abuse of the mom. And you could have done all that a lot faster. And you could have cut out 10 minutes there.
Are you saying that we don't need to see the flashback?
I don't know that you entirely do. Like, I know it draws a straight line there, but you kind of got the picture already, even without them showing you every little detail. I get that they fucked up his village.
They go back to the flashback well a lot. I think they could have cut some of that.
They can trim that. I think it works better if that's what gets trimmed. The other thing that doesn't work entirely is the psychedelic vision.
Mm.
It's just not very psychedelic. If you're going to do a vision quest thing, then like make it weird. Instead of just a straight up flashback, have, you know, the fucking cop be like, I don't know, an ogre or something. You turn into Hanuman and you fuck him up or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, do something weird with the psychedelic dream quest thing that commit to the next weirdness. Level. It just felt a little like a wasted opportunity. If you're going to do a psychedelic flashback thing, like just really, really do it. I think it was just an excuse to put the flashback in and fill in the story. And it's like, well, I kind of already got the gist of the story from just the very beginning with your fucked up hands and all the blood you're seeing in your child. Like, I got it. I got it. Happy mom. She's no longer here in the picture. Clearly, I get what happened. You know?
I was going to push back on that a little bit just because I think Jeff's right that we don't need to keep cutting back to it. For me, it would have just been like, what is causing all this trauma for him? And then just to see the flashback in like one take.
Yeah, once.
Would have worked for me.
Right.
But I do think we actually do need to see it. Because this goes back to your point earlier, Amir. These guys are bad because they do drugs and they're corrupt. Is it enough? Why is he trying to like hunt these people down? It's because like this guy strangles his mom and then sets her on fire. That's evil.
I mean, he sexually assaults her, right? Oh, yeah, he like rapes her and kills her and then burns the house down, right? That needs to be clear to make the revenge thing make sense. It's like John Wick has to have the dog.
And he loves that slow-mo in the flashbacks too. So like going back to that so many times, it just feels sluggish. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just do regular mo and you get those 5-10 minutes back.
Also, not really related, but I love how the Hydra trans warrior women come back in the end. That was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
What a cool fucking surprise, right? That was
so fucking cool.
That rocks, dude. With
the
masks
and like the spinning slow motion dresses that they have on. Oh, it's so fucking cool.
Yeah, that shit rocked. And I didn't see it coming either. It was a cool little surprise.
I remember seeing that in the trailer. Like, there's a shot of them. So I was like, oh my God, is he going to have to fight these weird mask assassins? But then to then watch the movie, it's like, well, no, they're, you know, they are fucking assassins, but they're on his side. And like, it becomes this cool fight scene. I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
And it's cool that they don't foreshadow it or hold your hand with it or whatever. And they just show up and you're like, yeah, okay, this is always part of the plan. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah, that part rules.
And, you know, he's talking a lot about his influences for this movie, like Korean action movies, The Raid, John Wick, old school Hong Kong movies, Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung. He loves all that stuff. And you can see him like remix a lot of these things, but he makes it his own, I think. I don't think it's very obvious where he's pulling in influences. And you get little flashes here and there. It's like, oh, here it's this, here it's that. And it's very elegantly done. I just think it all comes together in that final action sequence. It's just so good. Like the kitchen fight is so fucking good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. That second action sequence is just really good. He's just fighting through the brothel, just tearing through all those guards with like fists and knives and just using the environment, setting dudes on fire. And it's pretty incredible. And the camera work like improves
significantly. Yeah.
Go along with the quality of the fight. Like it steps up. That bit where he's fighting on the bar with the yellow display of the drinks behind him, just like tall and black and almost in silhouette. And then he's just fighting a ton of guys and then it just holds on him and you're seeing that whole fight sequence there. Like that bit is just gorgeous. There's just so much that's like really, really cool and really fun.
I mean, there's some things about this that I liked more than John Wick. I'm getting a little tired of the gunplay in John Wick and like there's very little gunplay here and it's a lot more visceral here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, I still love John Wick, but some of the kills here are insane.
It's not gunplay so much as, like, he takes your gun and shoots you in the face with it. He kills, like, a million cops, dude. It's, it's insane. It's fully nuts. Yeah, the martial arts in this is really good. It's more Raid, right?
Oh,
where,
like,
the balance between martial arts and guns is totally on the martial arts side.
This one shot I really loved was, and I think this is after he botches the hit and he's like running away and he ends up in this whorehouse fighting a couple dudes and like he bashes one dude's head into like a fire hose cabinet. And then the moment he takes the guy's head and bashes it into the cabinet, the camera switches into a perspective where it's inside the cabinet. So you see the grass clack and everything. I was like, dude, this is the cool stuff. This is like super inventive, unique. And these are the flares I like seeing from him. That was a really cool shot.
Yeah. There's this other one. He's like holding a guy's head above the stove and he breaks like a glass bottle with alcohol in it over his head. And it lights him on fire. It's fucking great. And the one in the elevator where his hands are full and he uses the knife to stab that guy in the neck. He's holding it in his mouth. It goes hard, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Going back to the whorehouse with the slumlord, and he just swings, misses Dev Patel, but then still hits another dude right in the neck.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that's hard. Yeah, there's some really cool stuff in this movie.
Yeah, and he uses his physicality really well. You know, he's like a scrawny, lanky guy, and like he's using his kicks. A lot of leg action in this movie. He's definitely kicking dudes a lot.
Yeah. It's
great stuff, and he's really turning his string bean physique into something else here. It's really good.
The last fight with the corrupt cop, it's almost like an MMA fight with the level of leg kicks he was using to kind of open the fight up there. And the whole thing's very Enter the Dragon with all the mirrors. That last fight scene's real good, too. It's just, great stuff. Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I think we hit most of it.
Yeah, I think we talked about it. I already said I wish that when Monkey Man took the water of life, we had a little more psychedelic vision in Solitude. But other than that, it was just good. Do we like the South African wrestling?
Charlton Copley?
Yeah.
It's a little weird seeing him in this movie, but I do like Charlton Copley. He does have a lot of charisma in like any movie he's in. So he does bring it in.
Yeah.
I like the final fight he does in the ring. You mentioned it, Amir. You know, the one guy who's beaten him up multiple times in this movie, he just takes out with one kick. I thought that was really cool. But then they bring in this Andre the Giant type guy, like this big, tall, beefy guy coming in, and I like that fight too. I just do think it's kind of weirdly placed in this movie. It feels weird that he has to like return back to the ring.
Really? I thought it made sense. He's got to get his redemption, show that he was a badass all along, that he was only throwing these fights. He's got to prove himself to the crowd, win them over.
But like, who is that for though? Let's be honest.
He needs the money.
Yeah, he needs the money to save the temple.
To save the temple, yeah.
He bets on himself this time instead of against himself, right? Because he's like, I'm going all out this time. So we can save the Hydra temple, right? I thought they made it make sense.
I knew this movie was made for me when it started off with that song, Red Sex by Vessel. It's the Handmaiden trailer song. You can't mistake that. Like, I've watched that trailer so many times. It's like one of my favorite trailers of all time, right?
It is a great trailer.
I was like, okay, Dev Patel knows what he's doing, you know, with his soundtrack choices. And his influences shine through, you know, and not in a corny way.
The Roxanne.
Okay, come on.
Yeah, just to kind of repeat what we've been saying. Like, I think as a director, I think he's got a good first directorial debut. It's a little uneven, but I would still recommend it. I had a lot of fun with it. If you're interested in watching it, I'd still definitely say it's worth your time.
Yeah, especially if you know what he's been through to get this movie made.
Really confident debut, really, really good action film. I think it's just like 10 minutes too long to be a classic. But other than that, what a great debut.
Yeah. Man.
Go to the theaters and see this one. This one's so much fun.
All right. Well, I think that will conclude this week's episode. Jeff, where can people find more of your work?
You can find me on my blog at strangeharbors.com, where I reviewed Monkey Man. And you can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Letterboxd at Strange Harbors. What about you guys?
You can find me in the Hydra Temple taking the water of life. What about you, Derek?
You can find me at The Wrong Dig on Instagram and Letterboxd. But if you like this podcast, the easiest way to support our show is to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, whether it be Apple, Spotify, or any of the other popular apps. If you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify, please do us a favor and give us a great rating. Really helps to get our voices out to more people.
Yeah, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions on our episode on Dev Patel's Monkey Man, feel free to shoot us an email at jeff@strangeharbors.com. We like getting listener mail. Sometimes we read it on the pod. And with that, we will see you guys next week.
See you next week.
See you guys then.